Did I go to the beginning? I did. Right, it's gone red. Clicking's gone. The reverb's gone.
Feedback?
No feedback. That's it.
Perfect.
Nathan's a sound engineer, it turns out. He's going to be all judgmental on this show. Nathan.
Self-proclaimed.
Welcome. Welcome to No Clean Sheets.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
A bit louder than that, Nath. A bit more enthusiasm.
But thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Well, I don't know why I'm requesting more, actually. You've had the good decency to turn up, Nathan, which is very good of you.
I think I was first here, is that
you
right?
Were... All right, we're just not going on about it. But yeah, you were first here. Yeah. And I cannot believe even Steve has become about as reliable as Harry. So we actually, though, could... Like we almost did last week, because obviously we spoke, didn't we? You were set to come in last week, but then... The pair of ladyboys, Steve and Harry, had different types of flu, couldn't make it in. Don't know if you heard the excuses they gave.
Yeah, I think you might have mentioned it once or twice.
I mentioned it on Monday night. Yeah. Harry had Colombian flu, Steve had man flu, and as I said, and we'll say again, both had actually not in the FA Cup flu, didn't they?
Yeah, they definitely did. Yeah.
Not something we suffer from, is it?
I don't think so.
No?
By that... crazy comeback from United.
So it should say, Nath, Man United supporter.
Indeed.
Now, how's that come about, actually? Because I'm pretty confident the legend that is Omessi Omar is a Liverpool supporter. It's great. And I don't know how that's happened. An actual gentleman apart from that. So how is that true, and how are you a Man United supporter? Is it father issues?
No. Yeah, a little bit. No, well, first of all, he's supporting Liverpool now. And when I was growing up, I think he supported Phil Bardsley. Peter Beardsley.
Beardsley, Newcastle.
Where did Phil Bardsley come from?
Is Phil Bardsley? That, I just ring a bell. Who is that?
He was a right back, wasn't he? He was at United and then he went to somewhere else.
Well, it's close. It's similar. It's a similar sort of rhythm, isn't it? Peter Beardsley. I can't say his name without putting the crap Geordie accent on. So he liked Peter Beardsley,
yes.
So he supported Newcastle United, but he did go,
yes,
famously to Liverpool.
Yes.
Is that why he switched?
He was a Liverpool fan as well back when, but then when he came, I'm still working out who he supports.
He doesn't really know, does he?
I don't know.
But actually, that has reminded me, as always, of a rather embarrassing incident when we were in the benches at Chelsea and we were playing Liverpool. Yeah. Obviously, when they won everything, Peter Beardsley scored this incredible goal, which infuriated my mate Robin so much that he climbed onto the fence and was screaming, "Get a fucking dentist, you!" And you can guess the rest. And I said, he's shaming him for his bad teeth just because he's a very, very good footballer. That's the sort of level we were at in the 80s at Chelsea. That's the sort of what we would get up to, try and put them off because they'd then go upset that they had bad teeth. I mean, I think he also mentioned his lack of neck. Remember, Peter Beardsley didn't have a neck either. Remember that?
I just remember he had great feet, if I'm honest.
Because that's your purest thing. Because you could actually play football and you actually talk about it with a knowledge, a bit like issue. It's not really comfortable in this. Actually, it's not fair. Harry and Steve do know a lot about football. It's not very, I mean, obviously I don't. So, Peter Beardsley, I didn't know that about Omar.
Yeah, big fan.
So that hasn't explained, or unless it is just who upsets a Liverpool supporter the most.
Now, growing up, obviously, I grew up with Callum, and he was a big Burnley fan.
Right.
Rory supported Man United, and everyone was trying to get me to support either Arsenal, and then obviously the other one was Burnley. And then Rory was the only, like, outside
option.
When I was really little, the only other kind of awareness of any other football team I had was United.
Yeah, that's true.
It might have helped a little bit that at that time we happened to be.
But, you know, I like your honesty, though.
Yeah.
Because that's what irritates me of people. This might have a lot to do with why I drone on about Liverpool so much, is my generation, and there was, as we know, loads of Liverpool supporters around here, of my generation.
Yeah.
And I say, that's interesting. Why do you support them? And they come up with some ridiculous, like their great uncle went to Limerick once. Yeah. So still not Liverpool. Oh, but then they go on about, somebody got a boat out of Liverpool once. It's not that, is it? It's because they won everything.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, 70s to 80s, Liverpool won everything. 90s to, when did Ferguson leave? United won everything.
A while ago, because since then we've just been absolutely shocking. I told you I turned the game off at half time, so I missed the second half, which I was absolutely gutted about. But now it's like just further driven home this this kind of superstition I have. Whereas when I watch United,
you're a bit like Harry.
We're awful.
Well, he's the opposite. He thinks if he doesn't watch, Liverpool don't play well. I mean, his ego's out of control, obviously, with this established that for quite some time. But he's the opposite. He's really concerned because, you know, he's off on another holiday to somewhere like Malaga.
He mentioned he was going away.
Yeah, go to Malaga. Interesting, that's two holidays this year for Harry. Thailand and Malaga. Still not actually seen him buy a round this year either.
How he's financing these holidays.
Did he buy the tickets? I think that's the...
Of course he didn't buy the tickets. Jordan, who turned up on Monday night.
Oh, did he?
That's who bought the flights to Thailand.
What a good friend.
It's like a bizarre friend. Yeah. I think Jordan parties even harder than Harry. I think he'll wake up one day and find what happened to that money.
Harry did say he was the sensible one in the friendships.
I need independent verification of that before I believe what Harry says about it. But I think I mentioned it, I've seen Jordan twice at Harry's gigs. He's certainly not a sensible person. He fell over twice at the first one. These are quite early gigs, and the second one, basically snogging a girl for the entire duration. That sort of concert. It wasn't like Barry White. I wonder what's going on. But yeah, so you're right. Man United have gone right off the ball. So are you quite depressed? You won't watch them because you think you adversely impact on the performance. But I think
it's partly that, and it's partly just how bad it's
been. It upsets you.
You're like watching it, yeah. You get angry, and I'm just like, do I need this right now? And then there's always like, I'll take a mini break, and then I'll be like, oh, I have to watch this game, and then you start watching the game, and then I'm like, oh God, why did I do it?
Oh, here comes Johnny Come Lately, Steve.
How you doing?
Harry,
this is Nathan. Steve,
if I like this turning up late, it looks all important.
you get welcome.
Fashionably, I think.
I mean, sit down before I tell you this news, though, Steve, because it would be a shock for you. Harry's not actually turned up yet.
Guess who I just saw at the bar?
Shut up!
No, it wasn't Harry. Imagine if that had been
you. Like seeing a unicorn. No, it would be more like seeing a unicorn. Would be seeing Harry at a place of work, wouldn't it? That would be a proper unicorn sighting.
Didn't he assure us he was turning up?
He did turn up Monday, didn't
he? He did turn up on Monday. Had a good game. He was a bit quite fresh. I think, you know, he was a bit like, remember that programme, that David Attenborough documentary, where the polar bear comes out after the snow with its cubs? It was a bit like that. He sort of came out all a bit stumbling around on the football pitch, wasn't he, to begin with?
It took him...
It took him about 10 minutes to remember how to walk.
Yeah.
And then he went off, claimed he went off to have some water. I'm not entirely sure. Couldn't get a close enough look at what he was drinking about half an hour in. Just deeply suspicious. But to be fair, it came good, didn't he, in the end?
Yeah, he plateaued for a bit.
And he tailed off.
He can always turn it on when he wants to.
He's a bit like, you're too young, both of you, but you probably do know because you belong to your football. We had a player in the 70s called Stanley Bowles, and he used to play for QPR. And it was laughable. There's a few of them those days because they were, you know, they'd smoke, they'd leave training, go to the pub. All the Chelsea team were always in pubs in the King's Road. Stanley Bowles was sort of the epitome of that. And then, yeah, they reckoned there was a sort of 20-minute plateau of his games where he was world-class.
Yeah.
But he was so either hungover or still drunk or just unfit because of his lifestyle that you just couldn't get a night. He did play, I think he played for England a couple of times. But, yeah, in the end he went to America. And I remember as a kid they're saying, yeah, this game didn't suit the English game of all kick and hope, which there was a bit of truth in, but there's also quite a lot of truth in. In fact, he didn't have the stamina. He's had a kind of Harry lifestyle where he couldn't run the full 90 minutes. So yeah, Harry did say he was coming, did he? But then what happened to him on Monday night, Nath? I've just realised.
Did he go out?
We came to the pub.
Yeah.
And then he left with Jordan.
So it's likely him out.
So that's it.
So he hasn't been seen since?
It's not been heard. It's not.
Is he still out?
It's the trouble. It's only because we're back to our Wednesday slot. After last Friday's new show, Steve, are you recovered from your dreadful?
I am about 85%. I'm wheezing. I'm wheezing like a sort of chain smoking Chelsea fan, nervously waiting for the Premier League to ask to see our books.
Fittestly, yeah, I did see. I knew you'd bring that up. That took 4 minutes.
But yeah,
it doesn't count though because it's from the Guardian, known Manchester paper. Never liked Chelsea, the Guardian. So they've done.
And I'm sure, as our listeners are aware, we missed what's since been described as the worst game week in fantasy football history.
What do you mean it didn't happen? There was no fantasy. Yeah,
so we didn't miss anything.
No, we didn't miss anything. We didn't miss anything. But what we did miss, so we can regurgitate it now, I was kind of hoping Harry be here. But we can do it anyway. The brilliant collapse of Liverpool against Man United. So, I mean, well, no, but you've just established that.
Yeah.
Was that before you came? Nice.
Yes.
Switched it off at half time.
I watched the first half while I was peeling potatoes in my kitchen. And for the first half an hour, I thought, okay. And then two goals before the end of the second half, and I was absolutely livid. So I was like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. Turn it off, muted my WhatsApp groups.
You muted so no one could tackle you?
No, yeah, because I get constant in my WhatsApp chat from all the boys. And then, yeah, checked the following morning and we were through.
Shut up, like, it wasn't until the following morning you found out. Yeah, you didn't look.
No.
So even I have the capacity... No. To work out you're a United fan.
Yeah. We have done that bit.
So United fan, okay.
Yeah. That's why Nathan was on, because I thought it'd be good. I think we'd spend a good 30 minutes on Liverpool and how entertainingly shite they were and how disgracefully Klopp behaved afterwards as well.
It's Klopp, isn't it?
He does that a lot more
nasty.
Often than
yeah,
he people...
Does. Yeah, he does, but he gets away with it because he smiles.
This is why, you know, I am maybe slightly more extreme in my loathing of Klopp than most people, but he's a nasty piece of work. Now, don't get me wrong, all top managers have a side to them. Like Ferguson, you know, famous. You didn't want to interview him after a bad performance because he'd go for anything. But... Klopp's the worst at it. He gets personal. He tries to belittle the person that's asking the questions.
He makes it personal, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's like
no, he does it intentionally.
Everything
yeah.
is like, you know, yeah. deliberate.
I also thought nasty. There was a slight difference in the sense that Fergie, you know, he was very rarely amber. You know, he's kind of, you always knew what you was going to get.
Yeah. And I think he used to get angry, but he would get angry about everything. He wouldn't always go for the person asking the questions because he sort of realised that was their job. Whereas Klopp had a go at that Danish journalist, just because he said, "Why do you think they got so tired in extra time?" I think Pochettino was asked that at our final.
Do you think that's got something to do with the fact that Klopp's like always banging on about how many fixtures they've got and how unfair it is for the players and all that kind of that narrative? So, which to be fair, I agree with him. They do play a lot of football, but
they do. But I've noticed he didn't complain about any of that when they stole the League Cup final from us. I noticed there was no complaints about the
fixtures. I have got no more patience for this BS. From managers talking about
numbers.
Spurs have just announced a post-season friendly in Melbourne against Newcastle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then there's the Euros. Then there's the Olympics with
Brilliant. Clubs, where are Liverpool going this summer?
Clubs
exactly.
could very easily cut back on their fixtures, but they don't, maybe the manager doesn't have much in a say.
Yeah, well, that's fair. They're probably.
But every single club gets dragged into this 12-month season now.
Yeah, I mean. Oh, I almost said I feel a bit sorry for the players. Obviously, I don't feel sorry for the players. But it is true, if you look, they know they do not get what they get 3 weeks in the summer. I mean, is it surprising they behave slightly badly, some of them? Again, that's it. They are pretty much playing football 47 weeks, 48 weeks.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're, I know everyone says it, but when you're paid that kind of money,
yeah.
I mean...
It's
the club's doing it, it's not the fans.
Yeah.
We would actually take a welcome break. There's been a lot of times this season where I've kind of thought, give us another... I mean, I can't say that now, we've just had 3 weeks off. But there's been a few times where I've been like, okay, I'm done actually, a couple of weeks off. Let me do something that's not just throwing things at the TV screen.
Yeah,
and that's what it's like being a Man United fan.
We've got back Chelsea, they take 8 time off
in
the game.
Or out?
In for the reason I don't see who you can bring in that's going to do something that's going to revolutionise the club. I just feel like there's too much dead wood in the squad.
You don't want to see a lavish new waistcoat in your gift shop?
Yes,
the tactical genius
that he's getting.
I find it so strange though, like, because he's England manager, suddenly it means that he's got the stature to run Man United. I can't see it.
That's a good point. And
You've also kind of just said United are bigger than England.
Well, no, I was about to say that. Is Man United a bigger job than managing England?
Yes.
Or for any? Do you think it is?
100%.
I think the
no one really expects
constant.
England to win anymore.
So Man United is the bigger job, yeah.
Whereas United...
I thought you were disagreeing.
No, I'm saying United is the bigger job.
Far bigger, because it's week in, week out. And it's exactly, and it's full on, and the money involved is huge, the stakes are massive. And it's like Mourinho at his peak, you know, and he would be, you know, Brazil or Portugal, and they were good and all that sort of thing. Mm. And he would say, why would I want to do that? He's, you know, they're addicted to it. It's like Ferguson never took an international job because he said, why would I... I don't want the... It's basically a part-time option, isn't it? Because they don't play for months. They're opposite of too much football. So, yeah, it's too big a job for him.
I actually don't know if there's been a bigger transition. Right, when Southgate first took over, I joined in the sort of love fest.
And did you get yourself a...
No, I just can't stand him.
Oh, I wanted him out after the last one.
I was seeing things that he was doing away from the football pitch that I really liked. He was doing a lot of self... improving analysis, managerial things, and I thought, okay, you know, it's nice to see that he clearly cares about what he's trying to do.
He's still traumatised by that
penalty. And then I never quite got over the whole turning Italian for the cup final.
Italy final was bad.
Negatron.
But you were still with him until the France game.
I wouldn't say with him. I'm not his biggest fan, but I just thought that we should have won something. I mean. Losing to Croatia and then Italy as well. It's just like, and I know it's like small margins, and if you get over one, then you know. But
I think the Italy one was the one. I mean, not yeah. The Italy one was the one that I saw was sort of unforgivable because, I mean, Italy. I've said this before. I'm sure didn't even qualify for the next tournament after that. Italy were not a great side, and England should have just. Blown them away, really. They just lost confidence.
So self-inflicted.
Yeah,
I've never seen Saka play so defensively.
So self-doubt.
I just haven't, and you can only do that if someone's told you to.
Yeah,
because Saka instinctively doesn't play like that.
Oh, do you think Gareth?
So I think there was
one
some
go one up and then like back down the hatches.
I feel like the talk was like a real cautious panic. I think he put fear in the players.
Yeah. Yeah,
because there's so many players.
None of that, Harry Redknapp, run out, enjoy yourself, and run around a bit.
If he'd gone out and just said, "Look, if you do what you do." Mm. You know what the result will be. Yeah, every player looks so nervous.
Yeah, man, you don't know, but you're right. It's his job. If that any job for a manager is to take that away from players to make them
good manager.
Yeah,
a good manager
would have given them the belief, said enjoy, you know, go for it. You get one chance, arguably at this, because they might not. But I mean, no, the pressure now though, because everyone's saying, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the game. This is the tournament. And I think
it's based on what?
I'm in my mid-40s. I've heard it at least five times.
Actually, you're right. Every tournament.
Every other tournament.
But this one feels like they've gone early this time. But I suppose it's the Bellingham factor. Because he's not been much of a feature the last two. He wasn't a big feature. He wasn't a big feature in the Euros, was he? He wasn't really. Was he in the team, Bellingham? At the Euro against Italy? I don't think he was playing. Did he play in the World Cup? So he's only just played the last couple of years.
So he's just come and obviously looks like the captain already.
He got the equaliser, didn't he?
But I think we should all boycott. I mean, we're going even further back, but the whole coverage that the cross, St George Cross coverage got,
I did mention that on my
all
holding
glossed
pattern.
Over the fact that that shirt cost 125
yes
quid.
Does it
Piers
not only that but it cost 125 quid
is that just the shirt
for the shirt, and you can now buy a replica shirt for 80 something pounds.
Yeah.
So
what's the difference?
So what does that mean if you buy the 125 you go to the Euros with England and you get a game?
Yeah, you actually get a game. Well, that's quite good value though.
How are we now buying
you
a replica?
But hang on, so
we're buying a replica of a replica for £80.
Exactly. That's what is a replica of a replica?
That's what they used to do in Queen's Crescent Market.
I know. I was going to say, was that really just a dodgy one that they're selling themselves? It's funny because Piers, Deep Purple Piers, he wants to set up a petition to get the price of the England shirt under £120. I think he's being ironic about that. That's an outrageous amount of money. I'd love to know what the margins are on that.
Huge.
Messi, the legend, of course. I love the fact that he cuts any logo.
Any logo
off a shirt. So you see he'll have a brand new, what's his team? The team?
Park.
The psycho ones, where they actually go on the pitch, and he only goes on the pitch with a gun. that team.
It's not quite that bad.
That's not what actually happened.
What does it say about a country where you'll go up in arms about the fact that your cross has been changed, but you won't say anything about the fact
the,
that
the price. Piers was on that, but Omar Well cuts all the logos off every shirt he's got, so it's entertaining. You've got a nice shirt, and it'll be wherever the, whatever it was, Nike, Adidas, he'll have it cut off, which I quite respect. Or your black felt tip, it'll pen it out.
He cut off the Nike logo on the birthday one I got him last time. So I've not bought him another one, and I don't plan to.
You should get one out of the market. I think they'd get one that costs you a lot of money. But
imagine the shirt he would have of. Have you seen the outrage with the France kit?
No.
There's no way of summing up other than saying their cock is too big. Now, why are you soaking up that pint? You've just spit everywhere.
I have just sprayed it all over myself. caught me in mid-slurp.
Yeah, there is frustration that Nike have also screwed up their kit by making the cock
too massive. Big. The French will love that. That cock is huge.
No, they're hating it. They've gone absolutely... What have you done?
We really need Rich. Like we really need Rich here for about 4 minutes of cock and Rio's double entendres. Which
it's amazing
does...
how your mind automatically goes to Rio.
Well, Rich it does, because all he ever talks about. Now, that does remind me, though, because we've jumped ahead of ourselves, we've gone straight into football, but obviously we've got to stop with 2 weeks. Like, this is going to stretch us. What have we done over the last 2 weeks? Nath, what have you been up to? Anything exciting?
Process of moving.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And looking after. No, gosh, nowhere near ready. And looking after the little one, but yeah, that's.
No out clubbing. Oh. No reaching for the lasers.
No. But maybe in a couple of weeks, I think a friend of mine's got a night out somewhere.
Which area?
Go for that.
To?
I've gone from.
This is a good one. I like this. I have done this.
I've gone from Sherlock Road to Estelle Road.
Did you that is hiring a
that is actually one road. They are two. They're next door to each other.
No. There's to be fair. There's a whole road separating us.
Which one is in the middle?
Courthope.
That is the same estate as I'm on.
Yeah.
I'm on Roderick. So that is funny. That is a very close thing. But I did do exactly that from Leverton to Countess. I was telling you,
yeah.
And I said to Gemma, "Also, we don't need removal people, do we?" And Gemma was almost going along with it, and then someone pointed out, "You don't pay the removal people to drive from one place to the other. You pay them to get it all out of one house and then put it into the next house. That's the hard work." I said, "Oh, yeah, you're right." So I almost fell into the trap of thinking, because it's close, you don't need removal people. You do need removal people, because it's all getting all the crap.
Well, they're not a service now where they actually pack for you.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, there is one.
I can't think of anything more horrendous.
They do. Yeah, they offer that. I mean, I don't think it's cheap, Nathan.
Definitely. I was just thinking about Rich. I don't think Rich would want people going through his stuff and packing up his stuff.
I don't think they
would. Another sausage mold. Why? Why, Rich?
What's that for?
But that does. Don't let me forget the beef with tapping the Admiral. I'll come back to that. But we can stay on the weekend for a while, because that does feed into it a bit. Steve? Cultural attaché?
No, I've been
up to anything
I've
last
been,
couple
I've
of
been
weeks.
At the SOFA Stadium.
Oh, have you been in for that? How long has this?
About 10 days now, I think. The last proper.
Yeah. Last proper trip
kind
out.
Kind of out, sort of social.
Yeah.
I can breathe and work at the same time. Yeah. Was actually going to a memorial match, sort of tribute match for Sid Hayes, who was Emma Hayes's dad.
Oh yes, Chelsea manager, of course.
At Regent's Park, and that was good. That was.
And that was the weekend before last.
That was the weekend before, and that was really good just to see that sort of camaraderie, community, you know, that sort of tribute. That sort of.
He's a real character himself, wasn't he? As well as obviously having a.
It's also the age range, you know. You had people.
Yeah.
Of every sort of, you know, from your age. Down the scale.
So more young to younger.
Down the scale to some younger.
There are people there at all. How strange.
But yeah, otherwise, other than that, it's just been no Arsenal game, so life's been stress-free. Get to stay top of the table without doing anything.
Of course, yes, it is, because, you have not played. And then it was obviously FA Cup glory for Chelsea that we mustn't forget.
We obviously now don't need to discuss getting Bayern Munich.
You did get one. I actually listened, but I
was going to ask, how do you feel about chances for the Prem?
The Prem, I actually think Liverpool have still got the fixtures.
Yeah,
that's what Harry was going on about. Yeah,
I think they've got the fixtures. You're an Arsenal, but I think we've got the worst fixtures.
Well, that's what he was saying.
But then if you want to win it,
you have to beat them.
You have to beat them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So And if you boys somehow manage to beat City in the FA Cup, in theory, our Liverpool and Chelsea games are going to come at a time when
we'll
the
be
players
saving
wouldn't
ourselves.
Want to get injured. Maybe.
Yeah.
I've got a Ten Hag. Oh, Ten Hag. I'm changing his name. He doesn't like Arsenal, does he? I think he'll play a full strength team against us no matter what we do.
Oh, even though they could be, they should be in the final. When are you playing them?
Second from last or third from last game?
So getting close to the FA Cup final then. Interesting. I mean, obviously, we crushed Man City. Mind you, we haven't been beaten by them this season. 4-4, 1-1, I think. So Man City, the City aren't as unbeatable as... Oh, well, that's not true. We haven't actually beaten them, though. Let's be clear. So we'd struggle with them. So I'm sort of looking at it. Anyway, we get a trip to... And I played... So I didn't go. I listened back to the one where you were going on about not wanting Bayern Munich. Decided, because you were so clairvoyant, that it was going to be PSG. Sure enough, you got...
But you know what? We always get Bayern, so you think by law of averages... At some
be.
Point, it can't
it's
be
like,
again.
Like it
should
isn't all fixed, Steve. Like you haven't realised.
The good thing
naive
is,
little sausage.
They're not actually allowed any away fans.
Who? PSG?
We didn't get
Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich.
Why are they not allowed any?
Because they've been banned for, I think, throwing flares or something onto the pitch.
Well, why are we banning Liverpool? Because they did that at Wembley.
Again, because it was the worthless cup.
Well, can't we just ban them for being Liverpool? Is that not an option? Wolves gone mad. Right, okay. So, back to Leicester. I'm talking about my weekends, because you never asked me about my weekends, but I've had one, so I'm going to try
just
and remember it.
Something to do with the Gaucho.
But I did. No. Actually, we did go to the Gaucho first, but that's not the point.
I'm refusing to put it at the Gaucho.
We went to... So Leicester, we know we're talking agonising over the fact that I wasn't sure if I could go because Gemma decided it wasn't appropriate to.
God, we are going far back.
Well, the last episode, Steve, is what we're going back to. The last episode. And so I didn't go. I just kept my powder dry so I can now go to the semi-final, another trip to Wembley Bridge. So we're going to that. So that's worked out nicely. I was a bit worried we'd lose and then I'd miss the trip. Anyway, we're going to that. But then, entertainingly, on the Wednesday, I played another game of football. Monday night, played the usual. Then on Wednesday, played another game of football down at Castlehaven with Mark, a mate of mine, had a game there and they were short. Now, obviously, whilst I'm an elite athlete, I'm not really up to two games of football in 3 days. But I didn't play that bad except for missing a load of sitters. But I played quite well apart from that.
I thought you like tweaked your hip or something.
That was this Monday game. So it was a week ago today. But then I walked into Tapping the Admiral. So there's been a running thing. Jem, who's been on this, works at Tapping the Admiral. And they've got a team at Tapping the Admiral who've been wanting to play the elite that is the Gospel Oak Massive.
I think Jem's been stirring the pot for a while, hasn't he?
Jem's been stirring the pot for a while. We did. I may have made a slightly inappropriate comment about them because they backed out of a game before Easter, and I suggested that that was because they were too busy slurping each other's bathwater, which I think Jem might have shown them. So anyway, as I walk into Tapping the Admiral after the game on Wednesday night, looking for my mates, this WhatsApp message from on our WhatsApp group, the Monday Night Football group, comes up. It's these two. I mean, they're not quite seedy, don't they, those two blokes from Tapping the Admiral? And they basically, very insulting call to war, with one of them somewhere has got a blue rubber glove on his fist hand, like he's going to do some fisting or something, and then does this sort of gives us the finger. But what entertaining is, I've just walked into the pub, so I see it, maybe they're in Tapping the Admiral, so I go looking for them to see if I can, because they're obviously going to be under 5 foot, the pair of them.
I thought you were going to say so you can get your rubber glove fetish.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers, Nathan. I'll have, I'm not, that isn't what I've got, that's Creature.
I'm good, thank you. Good.
Actually, you know what? You stay in chat because you're new.
No, that's right.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm up.
Okay.
I mean, you get stuck with our nonsense.
Yeah, because I'm a bored shitless of us. So anyway, so that was entertaining because now this whole game, because everyone's going, what's going on? Because it got really nasty. I did go looking for them. Then after a couple of drinks, recorded and equally offensive message back to them about what was going to happen to them. So we are now, people were all coming up on Monday night going, is this going to be really nasty game of edge? Now, Jem, you've met Jem, I'm pretty sure it will all be in good-natured game, but now that he's getting a bit, turning a bit into a bit of a grudge, gypsy queen takes on time of the Admiral. And of course, as we know, Steve, we're of both parishes, because we've done this on both of them.
Well, we also know that it's quite difficult to vouch for others when you're not around them, as we've heard with some of Harry's antics when we let him sort of get too far away from the table.
Yes.
So as much as he is a good egg, and it may well be...
What, Harry?
No, as in a Jem.
Oh, Jem. What are you saying out of our earshot?
No, I'm thinking while he may hope for it to be good-natured, it only takes one...
Well, there's a
glove.
I wasn't there for this game. You're right, actually. Well, I wasn't there for this game, but there's still legend of the Monday Night Football group. This game they played against the lifeguards of the Heath. It basically turned into a fight. I mean, really nasty, because they were all scything people down. Nath was like 14. Actually, we should get him to remember about it. 14, 15. Apparently somebody took him out, because he's really good at football, Nath. Like, really good at football. So they just took him out and said, it's a man's game. And Omar, his dad, was going, what are you doing? We're just... It's a sort of friendly...
So when is this game?
I don't know. April. It's in April. But it's been messed about, the actual timing of it. But it's in April. Everyone's now getting very excited. So Eshu's come in and said, I'm up for it now, that he thinks there's a bit of a grudge going on. I'm just saying, with a couple of people, I think Nick and others were saying, is this going to be like that? You played in the lifeguard match that ended in a brawl,
didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Did I misremember this? Were you like sort of 14, 15 and got hacked down by an adult?
No, I don't know if I got hacked down, but they weren't. It wasn't a particularly friendly match as...
Well, it ended in a fight, didn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like I want to come along and watch this game.
I'm quite excited because I, of course, will be the super sub. I just keep right out of any aggro that I've created.
There, Bruce. Centre backs, you know.
I might be able to block them. I'm just a big mobile lump.
I think you find you're not allowed to mention Thiago Silva without some reference to his aging, experienced Silva years.
Yeah,
I can't remember the last time I heard them mention his name without saying he's
aging. Exactly. He's not played much recently, I've noticed. I don't know if he's injured. But yeah, so that was on Wednesday, and then back to my night out Saturday, entertaining with Piers again, and Helly, obviously the loved up couple we had on not that long ago. We did go to the Grouch Show for a sharpener, but we went to then the Royal Albert Hall to see the Chemical Brothers. You won't even know who they are, will you, Steve? You're so...
I wish I didn't. It's definitely not my evening.
I tell you what, though, they were very good. It was the last of the gummy bear for Bruce, but so it was emotional. It was emotional when finally that stuff's been put to bed. But they were very good. But the light show they've got, I don't know how they do. It's like 3D and it comes out of the stage. And there's two sort of like orange Michelin men dancing. I was going to say, oh, what's that, the gummy bear? No, it actually did happen because I filmed it and it was quite impressive. And they said, I like that sort of music. You don't like that stuff, do you?
No, I'm too old than I should be. And sort of bizarre.
You like rock, don't you? What was that band you went to see?
I'll give you an example. I was on the way here looking at tickets for C6 Steve, who's playing in the Shepherd's Bush in November.
Yeah.
And that...
That... things you're doing.
Yeah, I saw him perform at the Roundhouse and
yeah,
a small venue with someone who can play and sing. But yeah, just someone who's got a bit of a motive sort of.
I'm going, well, I do know what you mean, but having said that, I am also going to go and see The Underworld at Ali Pali a week on Saturday as well. And I am looking forward to them as well. Having said that, and this is a while ago, I have seen them a few times, The Underworld, and what's quite entertaining is, you know, that they will get a younger crowd as well, a bit like Chemical Brothers. It wasn't all middle-aged men, old ravers, tragic, but there were a few of us. But what's funny about The Underworld is they're the ones who Born Slippy, you know, lager, lager, lager. So that goes on for about 15 minutes. And last time I watched it, saw them, you looked around and there's quite a few slightly older men literally doing some warm-up exercises, a bit like Nick does on Monday night. So they hear the opening bars, so they start doing a few stretches because they're going to tire. Don't pull a muscle, that'd be embarrassing. So I'm getting quite into it. Back-to-back raves for Bruce.
I think the last time I heard anyone play live at The Underworld, it was a Guns N' Roses tribute.
No, The Underworld. They're not playing at The Underworld. It's The Underworld playing at Ali Pali.
Oh, okay. I think, yeah, Guns N' Roses.
I can see the confusion there. You've seen Guns N' Roses at the Underworld?
No, I've seen the tribute
Guns N' Roses. I was going to say, what the fuck were they doing
Which
there?
Is miles more fun, because there's not enough alcohol for your brain to sync with what you think you're seeing.
Oh, is it that bad? They were that bad?
I mean, they were actually okay, but it's still the equivalent of paying to see somebody fulfill their karaoke dreams, isn't it? It's kind of just like...
Well, now, I've only ever... that I can remember I've seen one tribute act, and this was a long time ago, so lots of disclaimers. It was on the back of a sort of Christmas advertising lunch, and we carried on, and we'd been out. The big Christmas party was the night before for this agency. Then we were had a lunch for our team the next day, so we were just basically topping up. That night we ended up at the Black Cat in Camden at about 11:12, so
notorious, you know,
LGBTQ plus, as we know, Chelsea massive supporters of that group. Went in there and they had Bjorn Again playing.
How did I just know you was going towards Bjorn
ABBA,
Again?
ABBA tribute band. We were absolutely off our tits and we had the best night. Narrowly avoided, apparently there's a dark room you can go into at the Black Cat. No, I got propositioned quite a few times, actually, Steve. Don't want to boast, but I was very popular there back in my 20s.
Such a silver fox.
Yeah. This is when I was young, and I went home. Gemma was in bed. Got home about 2:30. And Gemma said something. She sort of mumbled something. This is how bad it was. I thought we were going out for dinner. And I just, apparently, I can't really remember. I jumped out. You're right, Gem. Let's go out for dinner. She goes, Bruce, 2:30 in the morning. I said, oh, is it? I was so gone. I had no idea where I was, what was going on. But good night. But that's my only tribute. And I think hard to beat, actually, because I think almost thought it was ABBA at one point. It was that far. Anyway, back to fantasy football, really, I think.
I've not done anything this year. I set my team at the beginning of the season and I've not touched it since.
Yeah.
Awful.
You were not. I always thought you'd Absolutely. Be really good, Nate, because you're very good at football. But actually, I quite like that you're not very good at it, because now... This is one of my excuses when I failed to win.
I did all right last year.
Did you?
Yeah, I did all right last year. I won my group that was outside on Monday. Did SU... Who won it last year? Did SU win it?
We didn't play last year. Did we play last year? I don't think we played last year.
SU plays it every year, I swear.
Yeah, he's in... Are you in a different league with him as well?
Yeah, he's part of the Finchley group as well. So
yeah.
I can't remember if...
He won that. He's doing very well. I'm not doing very well. In fact, I made... Yeah, I've just come up my points from that to get that... quite weak 11. That's not a lot of points really, but yeah, I was no, I quite like that you're doing badly, Nate, because you're a very good footballer. No, because you're a very good footballer, so I'm just going to, that's going to be, I say, there's only people aren't that good at football, really good footballers aren't very good at fantasy football. That's going to be my excuse. I mean, you SU doesn't really help
it's
with that
time.
Doesn't
it's,
help with
it's,
that
it's time I, when you've got a little one, it changes everything, doesn't it? Like, she's 18 months, so it's like,
yeah,
there's no,
and that's it, we've got a puppy, similar problem.
Totally the same thing.
Bloody is.
Yeah.
Bloody thing.
How many walks a day does it need?
Quite a shit. He's out. He's out at the moment. Raffy's allowed out. He's had four walks on the heath. And entertainingly, though, very good, Raffy. Kind of hasn't quite worked out that big dogs don't want him jumping up at them and trying to bite their ears. But he hasn't quite worked that out yet. But perhaps bizarrely, he's got some sort of urinary agoraphobia. If you take him out, he won't go for a piss or a shit on the heath. He has to wait till he gets back to the garden. That's quite irritating.
I mean, not if you live around the area, because the area is just covered in dog crap everywhere.
No, but he won't. He refuses to piss on the heath or, in fact, have a shit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, good. That's a good dog.
Well, I pick that shit up. Pee, you won't see. No, you're right. No, yeah, don't get me started on people not picking up dog shit. I've gotten into a few issues with that.
Sim, here we've kind of covered quite a lot of subjects. It feels like without last week's therapy session, without getting it out of your system.
So that's why you and I are struggling with the fantasy, because we've not got the time on our hands that you've got, Steve.
We've got a lot of stuff on.
How are you getting on fantasy, by the way?
I think last week was the first time in at least a year and a half I completely forgot.
You forgot
to look at my team. So.
Oh, so you didn't make any strategic changes? No, somebody said that. Piers said, "Oh, he's forgotten. What's he done? That's it. You forgot to get the right captain in.
I didn't even check my. Yeah.
Yeah. He was all over it.
Was that after you found out you had Bayern, or was it?
It was still the trauma of, I'm feeling like we're going to beat them now. So now, now you get some juice inside.
A couple of bourbons. Everything's possible. Exactly. That's what I'm like about Man City. I think you will beat Bayern Munich. I've got a feeling, and it's a bit like I was saying about when that time we played Liverpool all the time in the Champions League. I think the problem is if you beat them, you could end up playing Man City. Is that
the
right?
Only thing the only issue I have with that is it's quiet and unglamorous. You don't really want to play a team.
It's samey. Yeah, you don't play in Europe and end up playing people you play all the time anyway.
Although they're playing Madrid, no?
They got Real Madrid.
Did they get Madrid?
No, I think they got. Did they not get Atletico Madrid? What the fuck am I saying that for? I don't know.
No, Madrid didn't get it. No. I can't remember, to be honest.
It feels so long ago, all the things.
Right, so.
I'll check that out.
We established ourselves as football gurus.
For some reason, no, I'm sure it was Real Madrid versus City.
I thought they had a difficult time.
Because I thought I had another friend message and say, oh, do you realise if you beat Bayern, you'd get City? And I was like,
Real Madrid.
Have you not watched Madrid this season? Because they're a lot better than you think.
Yeah, they're not shy. I think.
Yeah, so you don't. Yeah, you could well. Actually, and the thing about playing Real Madrid. Well, add City too.
Yeah, Madrid, yeah.
Yeah, they got Madrid. Yeah.
They get Real Madrid. If you beat Bayern Munich and Real Madrid, you'll be the favourites for the final. Because the other side of the draw is nowhere near.
And we would be the away team in a Wembley final.
Would you? It would be Wembley, so you could. All Arteta has to do is tell them it's not the Champions League final; it's the FA Cup final, and you'll probably win.
Well, if we win, we would certainly deserve to.
Well, that's the other thing, exactly. You don't, because the other side is. Who's the other? I mean, obviously it's Atletico Madrid. Who's else? PSG.
PSG is still there. Barcelona is still there. Everyone forgets Barcelona are in it because they've just been so underwhelming this season.
In the league.
It's just like Barcelona have suddenly become.
Yeah, also the non. It's a bit like Chelsea. Very similar. Except we're not even in the Champions League. So I'm going to wild card if I remember this week.
I feel like you've been saying that for about 2 months.
No, I kept delaying it because you're always saying, oh, it's a two game week.
There is a 2 game week coming up. In a couple of weeks.
Should I wait for that then?
FA Cup hangovers.
Yeah.
You're just doing this intentionally. I know you're double bluffing me.
What I do is I tell you this now, and then next week you say, oh, Steve, you never told me this.
Someone was talking about not this Monday, but last Monday. Someone was mentioning that.
There's a load of double game. That's probably Klopp-Paul, because Klopp-Paul's doing worryingly well.
I'm talking like something like 16 fixtures or something.
Yeah.
Or
he's,
18.
Yeah, he's sort of on it. Bizarrely, actually, are you going away for Easter, you two? Well, you're not, you're moving. You're actually moving at Easter, aren't you?
This weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's definitely Well, that's just dicked all over your Easter.
No, I don't know. I quite like the Rubicon that is a house move. I quite like.
Not over a 4-day weekend.
Yeah, quite nice.
Good loads of time.
That's the main thing, is time. Yeah. And then the bonus is that it's Easter holidays.
Yes, because you work in a school.
So I got 2 weeks.
Your partner works, she works in a school. Yeah. So that's clever.
Right, that makes a difference.
Yeah. Changes the game.
That's a game changer.
Yeah.
What about you, Steve? What are you up to?
I need to fully recover and then get my bearings. Because I'm still.
Did you have a sore throat and a sniffle?
I had a chest infection, thank you very much.
No, but you know what? That stuff's been going around for a while.
It's been going around. Yeah,
I had it. I had it for 3 days. The only thing that got me through was thinking.
But it was really serious, no?
I could be a Chelsea fan. I could feel like this every weekend.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that pulled me through.
Yeah, I could have to watch that.
Entertainingly, I mean, just mentioned Klopp-Paul. I'm off to Northumberland this weekend. Can't wait, actually. It wouldn't be away since September. And it's a hamlet on a beach in Northumberland. Now, it's not going to be like poor old Harry in Malaga somewhere.
I've got to be honest, my NW5 postcode upbringing says hamlet what? We don't all have your upbringing.
Hamlet, tiny little cluster houses. But brilliantly, on a beach on the east coast, right between Newcastle and Edinburgh. And we're in this little National Trust cottage next door to the pub. I mean, it's just.
Fairly sure growing up, Hamlet was a cigar.
Yeah, it was. But it was actually, before it was a cigar, it was a small village. I can't believe you're just doing that to us. But that is, but I've just realised, that is actually, it hadn't really occurred to me.
That's Klopp-Paul territory. he's probably, I mean, up there, he's probably related to everyone.
Like he was going with Klopp.
Well, no, I know. I must ask him. He'll have some recommendation. Do I trust him? If I asked him where to go, is he likely to send me to the shittest pub?
I have a feeling he won't take long to tell you where to go.
But didn't you say it was Hamlet? There's like four places that you could possibly go, and like three of them people probably live in. Like,
no, exactly. No, the only place in the Hamlet is the fact it's got a pub is unusual. Most Hamlets ain't even there. But there's the pub, so we'll obviously be going there a lot. But in that area, apparently it's really good for seafood. I quite like seafood, so it'll be quite nice. Yeah, so anyway, I am going away.
Very nice. When do you go?
Friday morning, early. It's fucking miles. 5 hours with a puppy. We'll basically be driving. It'll be just piss and shit wallowing around in the.
And what about the puppy?
We're all toilet trained except on Raffy. Actually, to be fair, I've been on dog duty all day. Raffy, every single one of his pisses and shits today, in the garden. Clever little Raffy. I mean,
good dog.
Now, if he's not done anything now, you see, I can blame Jem. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that because I've been away since September. Have you been away? You've not been away since
September. I haven't been away since...
Actually, no, because, hang on, I'm the only one who's been away. Well, obviously, Harry's never here, let alone away, so he's different. But you've not had a holiday since when?
No comment. I have a feeling it's actually been...
That long?
That long. I think 2016.
Wow.
Fuck off. Well, hang on, you've not been anywhere since 2016?
No, I mean, out beyond the UK.
I know. Have you been abroad? Have you been anywhere in the UK on holiday?
I mean, in the UK, things like day trips to Brighton.
No, I'm talking about a week somewhere other than your house.
What about a long weekend?
Long weekends, yes. Like a few.
To where? I did this
to year. Places like St Ives and Brighton. But that doesn't count, does it? That's not what we're talking
no,
about.
No, St Ives counts.
So it's lovely, sure, but you're yeah. thinking like a real 7 day.
Well, no.
No.
Going abroad. Obviously, I went to South France last September. I mean, all our regular listeners will know where I took. Did battle with the criminals of Paris, but that was the first time we'd been abroad since COVID. So it was like 4 years. So we, yeah, going abroad is out of fashion anyway. But you've not been away. But you've been to like Cornwall.
I've not been near an airport, which is the thing that I'm craving.
Since, well, you don't want to crave that nightmare airport. You go every summer, don't you? Yes? You go away.
One year during COVID, I didn't go. Maybe.
Yeah.
Was
that first? I think that first summer would be tricky because you go to Greece, don't you?
No, after she was born, we did go that summer. It might have been the one before. Maybe we did go. I can't remember. But most summers we do go.
Yeah. Because Omar's got his own island.
What's the passport? What's the passport thing now for kids? They have to be 2 or something.
No, she got a passport.
I think you have to have them. You have to have them.
Even though like. They change every.
Yeah, the photo. The photo's got entertaining. Yeah.
Going to be like a
baby. Quite hard to get them to keep open their eyes and smile.
She's got a proper good comb over on her. Just like it's a solid mohawk of hair that's just swept over.
That's the United fan in you. You can't get the Charltons out of your system. Back when United were good.
Bobby.
Excellent.
So yeah. So what I'm. So you're saying don't do my wild card this week because.
I wouldn't hold it until the double game week, but I would give it a thought.
Don't rush through it just for the sake of doing it. I'm going to have to set my... Now, that's the other thing. Wednesday, because I had missed, genuinely, I know this sounds like a joke, but both the last two times, you know, there's a deadline when they shut off the transfers. I'm not... I tried to do it a week, a minute after the deadline.
I'm quite confident there's an early game Saturday.
So I've got to do it on Friday. You know what I'll do? I'll do it tomorrow because I won't remember to do it when I'm in North.
Okay, so Newcastle West Ham kick off the fixtures Saturday morning.
Yeah, I'm going to do it tomorrow. So any, well, I think I know. I think I pretty much mastered it all now. I just need to get the players that are going to score the most points.
I would go Liverpool heavy because I honestly do think
I'm not allowed Liverpool. It's.
I've done the same thing, so I've realised I can't finish this sentence. But.
You don't have Liverpool.
I didn't pick Trippier, for example, when we played Newcastle, and he got like 9 points.
Yeah, I'm just. What I should have done is that I'm not allowed to pick Liverpool player unless they played for Chelsea.
I'm not taking Haaland out my team this weekend. Life is too short.
Well, I didn't when we played them.
To be fair,
I don't care about that. Frankly.
I don't think he had a shot on target. I think Saliba put him in his pocket. Mm. Mm. And I'm just saying all these things to completely make sure Sunday goes balls up.
It's at City as well, isn't it?
And it's at City.
Yeah.
If you win that, though, I think you're best placed. I know your fixture list is a lot harder, but I think this is the actual test. If you beat City, I think you'll look at the other games and think, if we've done that.
Well, yeah, nothing's harder. That,
well, law of averages, I don't think they've played very well, but that's normally a good thing for City.
Yeah, they don't drop points, but they were lucky against Liverpool. They weren't lucky against us. They were unlucky to only draw with us. But I don't think they're playing that well, and I don't think they've got the hunger. I do think, probably psychologically, when you've won everything as a team, the edge goes a bit.
I disagree with that.
I just think that's why it's very, very rare you see a team win the Champions League 2 years running, however good they are, because there's a little edge.
But Pep's not like that.
No, he's good. No, he is good
Pep
at keeping
is so
it going.
Hungry.
Yeah.
And this is also, you know, it's Pep, Arteta, it's the team that, you know, if you beat them, you're probably going to psychologically shoot
and
them.
No, you're right. What's the record?
So much
four
and a bounce. That's the other. That is the problem with the league. You're almost better off getting them in the Champions League, I think.
Like, as a Man United fan, doing the treble, that's
bad enough.
Bad enough. And if they get four in a row, then.
Well, I always think one of the things about being an Arsenal fan, two good things. One,
that is what it says on the table.
Yeah, yes, please. Sorry, say it again.
Yeah, go on, one more. Just a
bourbon.
Yeah, I'm trying not to drink successfully. I always kind of feel like one of a couple of good things about being an Arsenal fan is, one, they go in cycles. So yeah, they go through patches where they start winning again and it lasts a good couple of years.
Yeah.
But then the best thing is our rivals are Tottenham. So we've never had to experience this thing.
This pain
where your noisy neighbours suddenly.
And as United fans, we've had to watch the growth of Liverpool and also the takeover of City. It's absolutely, it's shattering.
When you compound it with how you're playing, mess that you've been in. And then your closest rival, like, one of the funniest, like, you have your moments in recent history. For me, the manoeuvres that City pulled to make United buy Harry Maguire, I thought was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Because there was no way they were ever buying Harry Maguire.
Oh, no, I didn't think so.
But they just did this chess thing, and United panicked and went heavy. It was just funny.
Well, what was so frustrating about that is that the year before, Mourinho was there, and he was saying, I want a centre-back. And they were like, we're not going to give you the money to buy a centre-back. And then after Mourinho goes, they go and splash 80 million on Maguire. I was dumbfounded.
How bad do you feel things really are? Because how old are you?
34.
Okay, so you're kind of just the tail end. I'm in my early 40s, 43.
Mm.
And if you had told me as like a teenager that United were not going to be a threat for as long as they have been,
mm,
I would have said you're on crack or something.
Yeah, 100%.
So this idea that, you know, you've bought Anthony, who looks an absolute hound to me. He's your Nicolas Pepe.
Yeah.
I see nothing in him at all.
I agree with you on that one.
And now I look at your team and I think, realistically, if Arsenal were going to go and buy any United players, how many would I want?
This is why I say there's so many like Deadwood players in the team. Because if you go through our starting 11, how many do actually get into either Arsenal, Liverpool or Man City?
The only one that I always think is the 50-50 is Rashford, because it's a psychological thing.
Do you think Rashford is that good? I'm not convinced.
On full form, I feel like I wouldn't put him above Martinelli, but
I like Martinelli.
At full form, I feel like, you know, last season, for example, every game he was scoring at one point.
Yeah, but see, if you say on full form, you could take someone like Martial and say, if Martial's on full form, like,
it's a very short of full form.
Exactly. Like, he's never really.
But you had that thing
form,
when you first signed Fernandes, he looked like the best deal of the century.
But I think that was partly down to the fact that United didn't have that type of player that was that could change the game from back to front and was so direct in terms of like what he wanted to or how he wanted to play the game.
Thank you, Bruce.
And now it's kind of like, I get frustrated with
Rashford, Fernandes, because Fernandes wants to be the player that plays that final ball all the time. And in that system that Ten Hag is trying to play, where it's like build and like, you know, more akin to like maybe Pep or Arteta, where you're trying to actually have little like intricate plays, Bruno wants to get the ball and play this final ball through like six players through two lines, and it's like, why? Just play
that isn't the style.
And I'm just getting so annoyed of it. Rashford, every time he gets the ball, is determined to try and beat someone. I'm like, why?
That's not the tactic.
That's not what we're trying to do.
You're quite a thoughtful, well, you and Eshu are quite similar. You think about the game though, you understand, you can play it. And it is quite interesting hearing you talk about it, because I don't get, Bruno does irritate me. And I don't know why, but I bet that is why.
Because probably for other reasons.
I think it's what he does when he's...
He's also quite... He does go missing as well. I don't want... I mean, this is old school British.
How is he captain of Man United?
Well, he's not got the attitude to be a captain.
It's awful. Yeah. It's awful. And then if it's not Bruno, it was Maguire beforehand. And like, look, I don't want to hate on Maguire, but I'm not Maguire's biggest fan. But Maguire... As Man United.
So who would you have as captain at Man United at the moment?
That's a good question. Like, because people would say someone like McTominay because he's been there for so long, but I think McTominay is a bang average player. Personally,
yeah, but he seems to put
crazy that.
But did he not do quite well against Liverpool? Was it not McTominay helped?
He got so many goals at the beginning of the season. Is he still our top goal scorer this season, or did somebody else take him?
He's probably quite close.
Have you got anyone coming up? Because I liked it quite. Was it?
Listen, Kobbie Mainoo.
Yes, they're all talking about him.
It's unbelievable.
But he's really young though, isn't he? He's
18.
He's too young to be captain.
Not for captain, but just in terms of players, he's unbelievable. And that's the type of player that United have been crying out for. Yeah. A lot of other teams would look at.
I mean, you did us a favour because you signed Martinez, and it was with Arsenal, and I looked at, you know, that YouTube can make all of us look quite good.
My YouTube channel doesn't make me look good.
I don't. I don't see the hype.
You don't like Martinez?
I think again, his mouth is too much of a runner. He's got.
The football inside of it, though. Like
he's not. My God! If he left, we could never replace him. And these are the players that a team like United used to have. Yeah. You used to think, oh my God, how do you?
To be fair to Ten Hag though, like with the amount of injuries that we had on that left hand side, like Shaw was out for the longest time.
Oh, he's never mentioned that.
Malacia was out as well, which is pretty much the whole of the season by the looks of things. And then Martinez was out that whole thing. Like we were playing Lindelof at left back for the past like.
Yeah, but you never played him in his proper position. I actually thought he went for a spell where he was quite a consistent performer.
Yeah, but consistently okay, but not.
But that's your squad.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, you've got a couple of players who I think that sounds like I'm on an Arsenal wind up, but you've got a couple of players that I think would be quite good for our squad. I don't understand why people really dislike Shaw. I think Shaw when he's fit.
I
like him, and I like your.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying if you could, how many players would you take for Man United's team?
Well, I like both of United right backs. Well,
you've got.
They're not our first team, but they're both.
They could be a job in the squad. I agree with that. But the United,
what's his name? Who's your other right back?
Wan-Bissaka or Dalot?
Wan-Bissaka. United fans seem to dislike him.
Because
he always does all right when I watch him.
Because defensively, Wan-Bissaka is really good. But offensively,
the first and foremost thing you would want.
Agreed. But when you're playing in like modern Premier League football, fullbacks are going to be just like.
I mean, you're still very much a 90s United.
But like, you want someone to get round down the side and try and whip a ball in. How can you be a right back and not cross the ball or not be able to cross the ball? Like, I don't get it.
This is the trouble I've got.
He's great defensively. He's phenomenal, and Dalot is amazing going forward. I think, in my opinion, I really like Dalot going forward.
It's quite odd, but then I don't know
how. But he can't defend.
Have United ever experimented playing the two?
Well, one behind each other.
On the same side.
Yeah, so you've got the one that goes forward playing in front of Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, if you play him as a right midfielder and you have the other one as a right back.
Have they tried that?
I don't think he has put them in those positions.
It just seems like.
Forget Gareth Southgate, Steve. You're calling.
Well, Liverpool had it with Arnold because he couldn't defend, but they never put anyone in behind him. And now he's a midfielder. So it's taken him
that's a weird one as well, because Paul was talking about Klopp. Is it Klopp Paul you call him?
Yes.
Klopp Paul was talking about that and called him a generational talent. Sorry, Paul. I can't see that. I just can't see that. If you're a generational talent, then you play in the position that you're meant to be playing in. Like, you're a generational talent. Like, you can do that job.
Yeah.
But if you're a right back getting exposed week in, week out, and everyone's targeting Liverpool in that side because you're the weak link defensively.
Yeah, because you're not on the other side where you're not going to target.
And then in order to compensate.
Because they
can't
remember Roberto Carlos and how it looks when you do it properly. Yeah. When you can defend and go forward.
Yeah, that is true, isn't that? It's a very good point. I tell you, actually, entertainingly, and this is genuine, the best who could do both player we ever had.
I'm hoping you're going to say Benjamin White.
I'm going to say Ashley Cole. Fucking brilliant. Yeah, Ashley Cole. Against Ronaldo, there was a game he did play. I think it was Old Trafford, so I wasn't there.
Patrice Evra.
But he literally had Ronaldo, you know, at Old Trafford, and he literally, why we loved him was he had all the United supporters going cashy Cole at him and giving him a hard time. And he just literally pointed to Ronaldo and went, he went fucking mental. I loved him.
He's
I
just
loved
been
Ashley Cole.
Into the Premier League Hall of Fame.
Has he? Brilliant player. I mean, forget all the personal, you know,
it's
nonsense.
It's really frustrating because as much great. As Arsenal fans took a dislike to him, when you just listen, if you stand back and listen to why he left, which was, I was promised one thing.
And they took it
and
away.
And they reneged it. You just think, well, how many of you that are bitching about him wouldn't do exactly the same thing?
What was he promised?
They promised him a certain amount of money.
Yeah, it wasn't so much the amount of money. For him, he was like, it was more the fact that you've made a verbal agreement.
Mm.
And then you've gone back.
You've reneged on it.
And who wouldn't do the same thing?
But then look at what you went on to do after.
We should never have let him go. It was absolute madness.
Yeah,
I agree. Oh, he was...
Henri once described him as the only player we had that changed the shape of a pitch because he would beat a man and that completely changed
the whole thing goes and he would that's right, he could do and he could score really good goals, not just, you know, big brave headers, he'd score really classy goals as well
and won more FA Cups than any other player.
Exactly. Yeah, because if he was Arsenal and Chelsea loads
like every year
and a phenomenal player,
but he was great. I loved him. Right.
If it makes you feel better, there's not many players in the Chelsea team that I'd take Arsenal over.
No, I didn't ask that question.
Chelsea are such a weird one as well.
They are just so weird.
You know, the frustrating thing with Chelsea is that they're so comical.
It's quite hard. You can't laugh any more than we do.
No, it's more the fact that so many people just dismiss how much they spent to be that bad.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
It's just like we overlook that now.
It was funny because there was a bit of bants on the Monday Night Football because we got two Leicester supporters and Steve. And of course we were, you know, they thought Paul was trying to wind us up. But we weren't really rising to it because we're gentlemen at Chelsea and Leicester. But then, you know, I may have said something about, you know, thrashing the might of Leicester, and then Steve, the Leicester supporting Steve, went, £1 billion well spent. It was quite damning.
Now, did you,
really,
as a gentleman Chelsea fan,
say thank you for Kanto?
Always. Oh, no, I thanked him every time I saw him. Steve goes, you really good, best player we've had. He said. Steve always said.
Was you too busy booing Sterling?
Well, I wasn't there, and I'm not a fan of booing
my team. I've brought it up on this podcast so many times this season.
I don't
again,
boo.
Chelsea fans destroying their own players.
I know.
I find
a lot of people don't like Sterling, but I think he tried. The thing about Sterling, the reason I'd never boo him, he never goes missing. I mean, it was laughable, his penalty. Obviously Cole Palmer's not playing then if he took that penalty. Then all of a sudden Cole Palmer turns up. Well, why did he take that penalty? Cole Palmer's great penalty. And then he took that free kick right on the edge and took it. I could have taken that free kick. It was about 30 yards wide and high, that free kick, and he was on the edge of the penalty area.
Actually, Palmer's the only Chelsea player that I would.
Yes,
yeah, so he'd go. He's the only player we've got who go into almost any side in Europe.
Apart from City, apparently.
Yeah,
but that's a
yes.
Thing.
No, you're right. Actually, no, you're right.
Almost did that with Foden. Everyone kind of forgets that he wasn't playing Foden.
I know, you're right. He always came from
City. And if Foden had wanted to turn around and say, you know what, look, I want to play elsewhere, City would have lost it.
And he's been one of their best players this season.
But only because De Bruyne got injured. Yeah, otherwise, I should imagine we wouldn't have seen Foden.
He would have been. Yeah.
And now the problem is Foden's almost gone too. I watched him against Belgium, and he's kind of getting that mindset of, I can do it all myself.
Too much.
And if that doesn't shake off quickly, people will go back to thinking, you know what, I'd rather a Declan Rice because he'll pass at the right time.
Well, it's fascinating. It is true, isn't it? Is that knowing the pass? You are always very good at that, Nathan.
But this
talk
is
about
always the
good
thing
players
coaches
on a Monday night and say, Yeah, but watch them. Once you get to a certain place, they'll not look for a pass. They'll just head.
But this is the other thing about coaching, because you assume City have the best coaches money can buy.
Yeah.
So they should be already spotting this and saying, look,
coach him.
Your confidence is growing, and as it is, you don't want to be.
Yeah, be aware of that.
You know, De Bruyne obviously does it better than anyone. His release is almost always perfect. Well,
but isn't it strange that it kind of coincides with the fact that De Bruyne's coming back, and so it's almost like a statement that Foden's trying to show in order
I think you're right. It's in the head, absolutely.
It definitely adds tension to the
players. Yeah, and it's definitely in the head for these players. They obviously can do it all, but then they'll ebb and flow because psychologically. But then,
again, it's kind of odd because when one of them would be underperforming, we forget they've got Bernardo Silva, who again does it better than anyone else. We were so close allegedly to signing him when they thought he would leave.
You say that about almost everyone.
Wenger used to say that about everyone.
I think, to be fair, like United and Arsenal are always in the conversation with these players that are going to any other club. In the conversation. So there's always going to be this chat of, we could have signed this person, but they were probably never going to go. If City comes knocking and they say, oh, we'll give you 150
grand. It's funny how it's changed, isn't it? Because it was not that long ago. It would have been Arsenal and United.
Well, give it another year or two, and it probably will be again when City are in the conference.
If they do.
Did you see that? They did talk about. They did say, I'm not seeing this against City, but the Chelsea article did say, or relegated.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I thought that was the Manchester Guardian being a bit wishful thinking.
The thing I kind of find is, okay, we don't really know the ins and outs of 115 charges. But surely a low percentage of them needs to be accurate for it to happen. 115, they can't all be wrong.
They can't get all of them wrong.
And if five of them are right, surely Everton and Forest have done less than that.
Mm-hmm.
So the punishment's going to have to be quite severe, isn't it?
Well, there is talk.
They did it to Rangers. Glasgow Rangers got put into the.
Did it to Juventus? Juventus were a lot worse.
Yeah. No, there is talk that City are going to get relegated beyond just one division.
I mean, it would be hysterical. I probably have to edit this out, but genuinely, this
is. Don't say it because we don't know how to edit things out.
If Chelsea, honestly, a little bit of me said, Chelsea said, you're going into the third division, I'd be buying my season ticket and I'd be going to more away games because it'd be hysterical. It'd be just been. It'd be, imagine you're playing, all right, yeah, we've got Grimsby coming. I mean, I've been supporting Chelsea for long enough when we had played Grimsby, and I think it's because we were in the same division. But I see part of me likes the quirkiness of it. If you end up these big Premiership players having to go up against, well, a lot of them would leave, but no one would have them. So we'd be
the sad truth is, the player that
they're all on 8-year contracts.
The player that would probably stay is Conor Gallagher, the player you're trying to get rid of in the summer.
It was on the paper.
What do you think of Conor?
I'm a massive fan. I think he's. I don't think he's top four, but I think we kind of, because we're. If you support.
What do you mean for England? You mean or just for Chelsea?
No, England. There's too much good competition.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
But that's the thing. When you support a top four, top five team, you kind of get used to this is the level you judge everyone.
Yeah.
But there's another 15 teams in the Premier League, and Conor Gallagher would walk into all 15 of those.
I see what you mean. He's not going to get bought by them. You're not convinced by him?
I'm not a huge fan. No, I just see him as a number runner, to be honest.
He does run around a lot, and of course we are still so unreally. We're not really that much more sophisticated than we were 30 years ago. So we love a runner.
It's a bit.
We
love someone who put a bit of effort. You've now put him next to Palmer, so you can kind of see the other end of the scale.
What it
looks like when you've got the skill and the mindset. But then 15 teams in the Premier League to walk into.
Oh, he'd be
the odds of that. You've got to be. Yeah. I mean, look, he's not good enough for the top five, realistically.
I think he's still. They're both quite young as well. That is the thing people forget. Just because they all cost a fortune, well, obviously not Conor, but all the others. You forget our team is very young.
He reminds me a little bit of a less talented. There's two words that you don't think you can say with the next two. He's a less talented Ray Parlour. In the sense that Ray Parlour.
A less pissed Ray Parlour.
He got
maybe
a lot of stick for just being a runner. But actually, when you took him out of the team, we started to miss him.
You need those type of players. You do need the energy.
I mean, everyone would say, why did we fall away against Liverpool in the extra time? Because he basically run himself into the ground, went off, and so there was no one else trying to fire up the team. That was the problem.
Also, when you're chasing a game or you're trying to get this advantage, even having someone stand in front of you is making you think and is exhausting. So even if he's not doing very much,
yeah,
when you take him out and you replace him with a player that's not chasing back,
fuck all.
You're like, okay,
watch.
Well now I don't have to make that decision. I can go another 15 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And these are the things that not as many players do as you think they do. Yeah. We think every player does that because we watch the best teams.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
at the higher end of the echelon.
Yeah,
but again, we're kind of going for a transition because yes, I'm saying it, but we've got Declan Rice. And he's
Chelsea
looking like
dad.
He can do a bit of everything.
Chelsea boy. Right, now on that disappointing, rather depressing note, I've just realised we got so excited because there's actually three of us that we've gone right off our time limit. But any final thoughts, Nath? I mean, obviously...
About which one?
About everything. About life. Life. Any thoughts about, you know...
Nothing heavy.
Steve, you got anything to... Any profound moments to finish on?
No, it's good to be back.
It is good to be back. I think we should leave the final words to Klaus.
I thought he was going to say, let's leave the final words to Harry and just cut us off. Just have silence.
Yeah, because he was definitely coming, but on Monday night, Klaus, quite touching actually, he goes, what the fuck happened to the podcast? You shitting me, I'm supposed to watch. And then he said, no fucking point me coming on, you just do me every week anyway. I said, no, Klaus, you're funnier than me. You are so much funnier than me. You go, oh, fuck off. But did you hear him? Like, what was he getting upset about on Monday night?
Did I hear Klaus?
No, obviously I heard him. But Monday night in the pub, there's an old couple next to us. There's no football on the telly, which is Klaus's usual excuse for swearing his head off. But he got fucking furious about something. Oh, fuck's sake, you fucking cunt. And this poor old lady's husband's gone to the bar. And you could tell she's thinking... Who am I next to? Because he was literally next to her. He's got no...
I did want to say to them, you know, no one would say anything if you decided to move.
I think maybe she enjoyed
it. Okay.
And you don't know what it was about?
No, it's hard. Something's he's furious. He was furious. No, he's furious about everything. Arsenal. He gets furious about his scooter getting tickets. He's furious about schools.
I think it's quite important for to leave on a bombshell, and mine will be...
Go on. I'm ready. I'm on the controls.
I'm an Arsenal fan that doesn't like a lot of other Arsenal fans.
As a Man United fan, I respect that.
Yeah, it can be difficult at times.
Yeah, you say that. I think every supporter of every club, if they're deep down honest, have that feeling sometimes.
All I'm saying is we've got Piers Morgan.
Of course, good old Piers. Right, gents. Nathan, thank you very much for coming.
Pleasure.
Good to see you. Steve.
Good to be back.
You normally say always a pleasure. Did you hear me trying to impersonate you last week and I couldn't remember what you were saying?
I did, I'm not saying it ever again.
Right, cheers. Next week, let me press the right button.